I am not going to say that this is the first time that I've had to preach twice at the Chambers Creek Association, but it is the first time I've been asked to preach twice. It may be the last time, and I may not have even preached once, but we trust that the Lord would bless. And that is all we can ask and all we need to ask. We pray that the Lord would bless us together this evening, as I think He has in this meeting. I want to read a text to you. I'm not going to preach very long because there's not much about the subject that I want to preach on. And I can reach out to the world and maybe get stuff, but that wouldn't be any good. So I'm going to stay in the scripture. And there's just two or three scriptures about this subject. But it's a big subject. So I'm going to preach a, Lord willing, a big subject in a small amount of time. It's going to take a lot of grace. May the Lord bless us. In Acts, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Everybody knows about Enoch. He was translated. That word has many meanings. One of the meanings is to move from one place to another. And so what happened in Enoch's case, he was taken from earth and carried or conveyed directly, soul, body, and spirit, into glory. That's what happened to him. That was a very good thing that happened to Enoch, wouldn't you say? I mean, he had a real good day. About the best day of his life. I think he had a better day than I've ever had. I mean, that's I've never known that to happen to anybody. For all I know, it's only happened twice. It happened to a man named Elijah. Even our Lord Jesus Christ faced death and died. And He did that for a purpose. That we would not suffer the consequences of our sin. But Elijah's story fit into a study that I was having and have been having for the past year, maybe year and a half. Is that I was thinking about what I call the utility of faith. And what I mean by that is, what does our faith do for us and for others, for the cause, for the kingdom, for the Lord? Now, I'm not going to, it's not justification by faith. That's Mike Montgomery's subject. That's his specialty. I'll leave that to him. He can do a real good job on that. I've tried to talk about it, and I said Mike's going to do it from now on. So I'm going to talk about this. As I like to say. My brother Mike will tell you how the car runs. He'll tear the engine down, show you every part, and put it back together. I'll tell you how fast the car goes, and how great the air conditioning is. Somebody asked me about Tim. I said, well, he'll sell you an insurance policy. So that's the difference between us. So I'm going to tell you how fast the car goes. I'm going to tell you how... why you ought to use this car, what it can do for you. Well, what can faith do for us? I know what faith can't do. Faith does not save us eternally. Okay? We're not going to go to heaven because we're so faithful. It's not based upon our faith that we are saved eternally. That's based upon the finished work of Christ. We all believe that. I believe that. You believe that. I don't need to really talk about that. But what does faith do for us? What can faith do? Well, in this case, a man was translated to heaven based upon his faith. That's what it says. Enoch didn't get to heaven by faith, but he kind of got to heaven by faith. When you look at it from a certain point of view.
Right?
Right? I thought that was very clever. Enoch was made worthy of heaven by the finished work of Christ.
Right.
And even if Enoch had died an untimely death or a timely death, he would have gone to glory.
Right.
All right? But his faith was so magnificent. It moved the great God of heaven and earth to take him from this world straight on into glory.
Amen.
That's what faith can do. Now, I'm not saying I've got that kind of faith, but it is possible because it happened to Enoch. And there's no scripture that says this is the only time this could ever happen. And it may have happened to other people that the scriptures does not tell us about. But we know of two because the scriptures tell us. And in this scripture here, by faith, Enoch was translated. That's what it says. That he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. And look, listen, for before his translation, he had this testimony. What? What was he had a testimony? What was it? He pleased God. I think that's how they knew that he was translated. Because of this testimony. And because of his faith. And I believe the sixth verse needs to be read in conjunction. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Right.
But there's more. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heaven's not the reward, but whatever God chooses to bestow upon them is the reward. In the 10th chapter, verse 35, he says, cast not away your confidence. That means to possession of faith, which hath great recompense of reward. And I believe that these rewards, whatever they are come from the Lord because of our walk of faith. And so I preach this sermon to me. This is to me. I want to do a better job with the faith that God has given me. Okay?
Right.
I'm not asking God to give me more faith.
Right. Yeah.
Because we were given that measure of faith when we are born again. And there's no, God doesn't say, well, I need to give you more faith. Because the faith that I gave you wasn't good enough. What God gives us is always good enough.
Amen.
So God does not have to improve upon what He bestowed upon us through His marvelous grace and His impeccable wisdom. What we need to do better with what God has given us. And in correlation to what Brother Gary was preaching, I don't know how to make the church grow. The only thing I know to do is to do better with what the Lord has given us. And if the Lord would see fit to add such as should be saved, then all glory to God.
Amen.
Not to us.
Amen.
Not to us. Now, we'll be blessed in it, though. But the glory is God's.
Amen.
Therefore, it's well within us to do what we can. And so we think about what Enoch did, and then we think about this sixth verse. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, I think you've got to have faith to know that there's a Lord. And the only way you can get faith is to be born again. But I believe in the active use of faith, we need to believe that God is able to do His will and to do what the world would say is impossible.
Right.
What people say can't be done, or maybe even shouldn't be done, or don't do. We don't want y'all to do this, but if God says do it, may our faith be in God and that we will obey Him and trust Him and serve Him and pray to Him and follow Him and obey His commandments. And that in that faithful obedience to this God, that God is there. That God exists. It's not a superstition. It's not a fable or a fairy tale. And nor is the church a relic of a bygone era. It's not a museum of antiquated customs and traditions. But what it is His house and His bride. And His church that He built, that we are blessed to be a part of it. And so, and that God is so able in dealing with His bride that His bride will exist throughout all ages. And God help us that we would be faithful, because He is always faithful. Matter of fact, that's one of His names. And that even now, this is to me, this is to you too. This is for right now, in this generation that we live in. And we live in you know, everybody, it's a sign of old age when you say this is the worst it's ever been. I think it is. And kids today, man, these kids, I mean, now I'm old, I'm saying that. I mean, and I have kids. All right? And I have kids of a certain age that are in their 20s. And, you know, I thought teenagers were bad, but was I that way in the 20s? And Sister Margaret was probably shaking her head right now. Yes, you still are, Brother Dave. What makes you think you're even better now? What makes you think that? Not going to be presumptuous, Sister Margaret. Sister Danny's not here, so we'll do with Sister Margaret. I'm not going to be that presumptuous. But what goes around comes around. So it's coming around to me. And I hear what they're saying that their friends are saying. And then they come along and they say, well, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you live. It's whatever you want to do. It's wide open. As a matter of fact, we know better. We know better than what you do. And not saying that my children are saying this, but they're telling me of people that are saying this. What they're not telling me is that they think these guys are all well. That's what bothers me. And so here's what they're saying that people are saying that they ought to be saying is all well. Well, the scriptures is stereotypical. It puts things down. It keeps people from maximizing their potentials. Well, amen and amen. Okay? That's what I don't want to be maximized. People say, I want to be self-actualized. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because that means Adam multiplied. Self-actualized is Adam multiplied. I want to be Christ-actualized. Okay, I want some restraint from what I'm capable of. Because I'm afraid of what I'm capable of. I don't want to know myself that well. Okay? I know the potential is there. I want restraint in what I'm capable of in my flesh. But when I look toward the other side and I see my God, my living God, my Creator God, who made everything, including the church that we're in right now. He made what we're in right now. Well, we're in the kingdom of God right now. Right now. I'm going to say it again. You're in the kingdom of God right now. Amen. How did you get there? By the Spirit of God that is among us. And God's grace isn't just, and I don't mean just in the form of merely, but it doesn't stop in getting us in the glory, but it's abiding now and blessing us in a timely sense to the point, to the largest degree possible, in Enoch's case, that he walked with God. He had fellowship with the Lord. He communed with God. I don't know everything that he did, but I kind of think about how I would go about it, and that probably is not well, but I think about, well, how I would meditate and fellowship, think about things and have thoughts come to my mind that were of celestial, supernatural, spiritual, beyond this world. And I get away from self, and I know that there's a great God in heaven full of truth and mercy and grace. And how great He is, how magnificent this God must be, and how beautiful His dominion and glory must be. That's how I think. And I don't know all that Enoch did, but he walked with God. And then he was not. He was gone. Because the Lord took him from this earth and took him straight on into glory. All right? Now, a few more verses. This is a big subject, but not much about it. So you go to Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. There's our introduction to Enoch. He was 65 years old. He had a little boy, named Methuselah. Y'all have heard of him? Alright, he was as far as we know, he was the longest lived man in the history of humanity. He lived 969 years. Enoch was the father of Methuselah. He was 65 years old when he had Methuselah. Thus our introduction. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So he was 65 when he had Methuselah. And then after he had Methuselah, it said he walked with God after that. So for 300 years, he walked with God. Now I just turned 57, and I don't know how long. I don't even know if you could say he's Dave Montgomery. What is his aggregate total of walking with God? I don't even want to know. But it could be said of Enoch 300 years. It's possible. He did it. This was not a strange time in history. Well, it was different than now, but he was a man just like us. He was a human being. And he walked with God, lived a godly life for 300 years. And Methuselah lived, and Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. That's it. God took him. Now there's more that I can get to, but this is all I want to get. All right? What a life. What a life that must have been.
Amen.
To have a life of faith like that. What a life. I like to turn things around. Because I don't like preachers that beat up the flock of God. Okay? I don't care for that one bit. Because when I get beat up by a preacher, then I want to beat him up. So he's getting the opposite effect. Okay? Yeah. I have help. Especially young preachers. Get off of it, guys. Stay in the book of Romans and leave the rest of it alone. I'm old. I can say things like that. You young preachers. You're going to tell me how to raise kids? When your kids are 2 years old? Get out of here. Wait till you've got a 28-year-old smart aleck in your house. They'll tell me what to do. Young, exercising brethren, get up here. How to pastor a church. You know, I used to be a real good pastor. I used to be the best pastor among the Primitive Baptists, and then I started serving churches. Right? I was the best husband in the world, then I got married. I was the best father, and then I had kids. Right now, I'm the best grandfather on the planet. And then I'll have grandkids. All right, now that was a good diatribe. I enjoyed that. I hope you did too. No charge. All right. So, but here's what I'm saying is that, you know, maybe I need to practice what I preach. But okay, my point is, I don't like preachers get up there and start beating up the flock of God. You know, beat them up. I'm going to tell you everything you're doing wrong. Well, who do you think you are? I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says and how it applies to me. And if I'm going to use, and I'm going to have a negative example, I got one right here in me. I've got all the negative right here in me. This shoe fits. Now, I want to walk by faith.
Amen.
I do. I want to get out there and walk by faith. I want to live what I believe, because I believe in God. And I love the Lord. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the church. I love to hear the gospel preached. I love to think about the gospel. And I want to have faith. Not just in... It's easy to have faith at the Chambers Creek Association. But it's hard when you're leaving it. It's tough on a Wednesday or a Thursday. It's hard when you lose your job. It's hard when your marriage fails. It's hard when you're trying to raise children in the backdrop of a world that is not a friend to grace or to the old Baptist. It's hard. It's hard when you hear what Brother Gary's saying, and amen. But when you, the church that you're trying to serve, and you've tried to serve for almost 20 years, and just, you know, when you, you know, there have been great moments of prosperity, and then there have been great moments of woe, and you wonder, is your time up? And you just don't know. You don't know. And when you have a year like we've had, where we've lost three of our precious sisters, and a deacon and his wife abruptly leave and move out of state, and then you're left reeling, and you have to pick up the pieces and try to do the best you can, and when you're at the deathbed, and this is me, this stuff is what I'm facing. When you're on the deathbed of a woman that you love as a mother, and she holds your hand and she looks at you, and you know she's days away from going on to be with the Lord, and she says, don't leave the church, David. Make me a promise that you'll never leave this church. You say, I'll do the best I can. But I want to have faith that I know God is able, in spite of my deficiencies and in my failures, God can bless us to overcome whatever circumstance that the devil throws our way. That's what I want. And in a sense, and I just got a few more minutes, hang with me. And in a sense, Enoch was translated. Enoch went to glory. Enoch walked with God, and he walked with God. He was walking them on earth, and he saw him in glory. But when I'm in the kingdom, when I'm with the congregation, when I'm in the assembly, when I'm in with the spirits of just men made perfect, that's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he didn't say the bodies of people made perfect. But it's the spirits. It's God's people congregating together. When we feel the presence of the Lord, time stands still. And the problems are forgotten. And I am, it is as if that I am translated, that I am in glory itself just for a little while. See, the problem with church is that it ends. You know, the biggest problem I have with meetings is that they end. And we have to go back. One of the best things about heaven is that it never ends. But just for a few lucid moments, that we may say, I'm not worried. All I can see is this Lord. And it's all right. Let that strengthen your faith. Because what if you went to meeting and the Lord wasn't there? That would be depressing, wouldn't it?
Yes, very depressing. Yes,
sir. I'd rather meet with one person with the Spirit than 1,000 without.
Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah.
I have staff meetings at work and the Holy Spirit is not there. And we have a crowd. Everybody makes staff meetings because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble. There's consequences. And you got to, and it's just, you know, we kind of have our song service. We have announcements. We hear a sermon. We hear my boss just talk about company policy, and it's an exercise of sheer eternal boredom. There's a time that it seems like it's going to last forever. We've got, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm just going to get real. We've got about 12 members at Fredericksburg right now. There was a time that we had close to 50. About 10 years ago. 10 years ago. If we were a business, we'd either declare bankruptcy or they'd fire the management. But you know what keeps me going? And I want this to keep us going. Every time I'm there, I feel the presence of God. And as long as I feel that, everything is all right. Evil men and seducers may be waxing worse and worse. The love of many may be waxing cold. But God is still in control.
Amen.
Do not be afraid.
Right.
Walk with God. And it will be a reward. I believe that God is, don't you?
Amen.
I believe that God is able, don't you?
Amen.
And I believe that God is here. And because of that, I'm going to tell you that everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
May the Lord bless me and all of us here to walk by faith and to exercise the faith that He's blessed us with. Thank y'all very much. May the Lord richly bless you. Come see us in Fredericksburg. We'll try to take care of you. We'll go out and get some German food. We'll go to San Antonio, get some Mexican food. I'm trying everything I can. And we'll have a good time. May the Lord richly bless you.